Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech, rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at the Grok controversy. What is it? Who is impacted? And why should you care? We'll throw an eye over some of the big announcements from CES 2026 in Las Vegas. And I'm going to head down to the RDS to meet the organisers of the STRIPE Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram @JessKellyNT. I do hope you're well. The sun is shining out the window here as I'm talking to you. It has been a lovely but incredibly busy week for the first full week back of the year. I hope, as I said, everything has gone well in your world as we settle in to yet another 12 months. My big plan for this week's show was to focus on the fun of CES and the Young Scientist. Look at the innovation and look at the brilliance. But unfortunately, we're starting with a story that's been in the headlines all week and focuses on the worst side of the internet. That is the use of Grok AI to remove the clothes of women and minors on the platform X. Now, I want to start by winding the clock back to Monday morning, because I am on every Monday with Shane and Kira on News Talk Breakfast, and I was talking about the origins of the story. For those of you who missed it, users on X were tagging Grok, which is the AI bot thing on that platform, under posts that featured women, or as I said, in some cases, minors, asking the AI to alter the image from what it was to that person or the people in the photo to appear in their underwear, bikinis, or other such states of undress. Now, this has been happening for some time, but in recent days and weeks, those targeted by this behaviour have spoken about the impact it's had on them. Obviously, it's a massive violation, and it's a horrible thing to happen to anybody. Politicians have spent a lot of time this week all around the world, not only our own politicians, but politicians from everywhere around the world have expressed their disgust and their disappointment that this is going on. Here is a snippet of Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking earlier in the week about the controversy.
I think that's unacceptable. I mean, it's shocking. And certainly it's a matter that we will be continuing to raise with Commissioner Mann and also with the Commission. And I think we read some reports just prior to this gather, and that clearly some of this could be in breach of existing laws in any event. So we do need to, our authorities need to examine this very carefully, and be very clear in protecting children in particular and protecting innocent people.
Yeah, that's the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Since Monday, we've heard different governments in various parts of the world calling for action. On Thursday's News Talk Breakfast, Minister for Artificial Intelligence Niamh Smith joined Kira, explaining why she's looking for a meeting with X.
I suppose the developments that we've seen over the last, it's been obviously going on for a number of weeks now, but it's kind of reached a peak over the last number of days, is what has been X's AI chatbot, Grok, which of course, as we all know now, is allowing the dissemination of explicit images of women and children. And of course, within the Irish legal system and the European legal system, it is illegal to do that. So I suppose I've heard a lot of, I suppose, debate over the last 24 hours about, you know, strengthening our laws and ensuring that they're robust. But from my understanding of the Irish law and EU law, because I did oversee the online safety, media piece when that was brought in the development of Commission Amman, we have those laws in place. We have a very robust framework in place to ensure that the dissemination of images like that are not allowed to filter through the Irish system in terms of Irish platforms.
Sure.
Irish.
But Minister, you would imagine we have stronger laws than that as well. We have Coco's Law, which prevents the sharing without consent of explicit images. I think it is highly arguable that these images fall into that. These may be deep fakes, but they're very good deep fakes. And apparently the effect on those who are being targeted by these deep fakes of themselves, the effect is very similar to what a real photo would generate in somebody, because they believe, and I think with some due cause, that people seeing these may not know that they're deep fakes.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the real problem with AI and deep fakes is, you know, we cannot actually be sure of what's real and what is fake. But to start with your initial question, what would I be saying to X? I'd be saying to X that this is not legal, it is not acceptable, it is abhorrent, and it should be stopped. I mean, X have their own safety measures in place too, and they're breaking their own guidelines in terms of what is safe to disseminate among the public on the platform itself as well. So, I mean, I have written to Twitter, as we know, or to X, it is now known, they're a little bit elusive here in Ireland and a little bit difficult to pin down, but we have written to them to seek a meeting with them. We have written...
They're a little bit elusive in Ireland, but is it not the case that one of their headquarters, one of their main European headquarters, is based here in Ireland? How are they allowed...
That is true.
How are they allowed to remain elusive?
Well, when I say elusive, to actually find the person who can sit down with a minister, with an Irish minister, to discuss these matters has been a little bit difficult in recent times. Because, again, I go back to when we were establishing our online safety media legislation, even getting Twitter and X's, or Twitter as it was at the time, into the Oireachtas committee was difficult. So when I say elusive, they have a headquarters here in Dublin. They should be more available. They should be more proactive in dealing with the Irish government and
With respect, though, that's fine. They should, and I agree with you that they should. But whose job is it to make them come to heel other than governments? And government has been weak on this front. We are allowing technocrats who are essentially oligarchs like Elon Musk to shape our society in a way that we don't want them to, and we're allowing it to happen.
Well, can I just say, Ciara, the Irish government and the previous government as well did a huge amount of work to ensure the laws were in place. And the laws are, I am very confident the laws are in place. This is really about enforcement in my mind. It is about Commissioner Mann, a regulator, acting with the European Commission. And we know the Digital Affairs, Thomas Regner out there, has a responsibility here too, working with An Garda Síochána. We have laws in place and they need to be enforced. And you would hope that there is some moral compass within X and Twitter, that they would ensure that the Irish public are not subjected to harmful content.
That was Minister for AI Niamh Smith. Now, on Friday, X placed the Grok imaging editing capabilities behind a paywall in the wake of the backlash. But is that sufficient? I would love to know your thoughts on this one. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. I'm joined now by Alex Cooney of CyberSafe Kids. Alex, one of the things that has shocked me this week is the shock at that the politicians have been expressing to this, because although the issue of Grok has blown up this week, this type of nudification technology has been around for a while now.
It has. There are multiple places, unfortunately, where this can be done. It's been highlighted in a number of cases. There was the incident in Spain where schoolboys took images of their female classmates and used nudifying technology to create sexualized images of them. And, you know, there was kind of horror at that. But there have been a number of other cases as well. I think what's different about this is the fact that these images were subsequently posted then on X. So there's a kind of publicness to it. And a very clear case of illegality in many ways, because obviously to post such imagery without the consent of the person is illegal under Coco's Law. And then you've got the complication of children's images, or I shouldn't even say complication, you've got the kind of horror of children's images being sexualized in this way as well. And that is, of course, also illegal.
So this is where I have been struggling, because we have things like Coco's Law. We have talked numerous times, you and I alone, over the last little while about different measures to protect young people online. So how and why is this happening?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I think there's a number of things that we need to think about here. Broadly, in relation to these tools, I think we need clear legislation that actually bans them. We need to follow the UK, Australia's lead in doing this and making it very clear that, you know, the creation even of such imagery relating to adults is illegal. To my mind, they serve really no good outcome. So I think we need to move to ban them and have that clarity in place. In relation to what's happened this week, I'm also, a bit surprised by the reaction, in that I would see this as a very clear test case. You know, we regulate X on behalf of Europe here in Ireland. That is what our regulator is, one of the things that our regulator can do. And what I would have liked to have seen is instead of X eventually acting on the back of the public outcry, I would like to have seen our regulator very clearly imposing a strict deadline and saying that they must put in place remedial action immediately or face very serious consequences, including the potential to be geo-blocked.
Mm. But so again, I was on Lunchtime Live on Friday, right? And we had a conversation about this because the UK are calling for, you know, action to be taken, Ofcom to take action right up to a potential ban. But my thoughts and feelings is that's not going to address the issue, because if X was to disappear tomorrow, people will just shimmy across to another app that will eventually, if not already, offer this kind of service. So is it more important that we address the notion, as you said there, of anyone using an AI creation tool to create the likeness of somebody for any purpose, even if you're to try and do like a mic take of a politician or whatever it is that not the fundamental issue here, rather than X being the cesspit of the internet?
Well, I think that other piece that I was talking about, that, well, first of all, on the sexualization of images, and then there's the kind of broader issue of deep fakes. But I mean, on the sexualization of images, I think we need to ban them. I think there are other countries already exploring. They're further down the track of banning these applications. And I do think we need to follow suit in Ireland. We certainly need to make them inaccessible to children. Bear in mind, as far as I'm aware, there is no age verification in place to block access to children. So these are fully available across the board. And I think we could also look at what Denmark is doing in terms of copywriting image, mm-hmm. so that users have a lot more control over how their image is being used. So that, you know, even if it's not in a sexualized way, as you said, but just in a way to humiliate, I do think that there are things that we could be doing that will give users greater controls. But yeah, look, I think there's a range of measures. It's the issue, as always, is how long will we talk about it and when will we take action?
Yeah, and the taking of the action is the big one, right? Because as we have spoken about, as I said, numerous times, we have made huge progress in the last few years. And I really do believe that we have made progress. But I also believe that the progress we've made are stepping stones towards even greater progress. And I just wonder, you know, have we seen the impact of having an online safety commissioner or the online safety code or any of the bits of infrastructure that are now in place? Have we seen the impact and the teeth that those different bodies and organizations and structures are meant to have? Have we seen the benefit of it yet?
I mean, not to my mind, not yet. I mean, there are examples around Europe. In France, for example, the French regulator did move to ban access to pornographic content for under 18s. So there are examples of it. I know Italy and Spain have tried to do something similar. It's just, I think in Ireland yet, it is early days. I do appreciate that. Obviously, the online safety code is only live since July, or sort of fully enforceable since July. So I do appreciate we have to give it time. But yeah, this was an opportunity, to my mind, for a company who does fall under our remit and who had clearly in breach, to kind of show those teeth. So look, hopefully in time we will see that happening more and more. And as you say, you know, hopefully that those bigger changes are on the way.
Mm. But even when everything comes into play and is effective and all the rest, would it be the case that if I was a child and my image was taken and posted on Grok in using this technology and whatever, Is it the case that when everything is fully functional, my mum could go hit report and it would instantly be taken down? Or what are the mechanics? What are the systems that are in place that are going to keep people safe? Because if you have to go through an arduous process to get an image of your child being sexualized, humiliated, whatever it is, every second that that post is up is a second too long.
Well, and what we've been told is that, you know, it'll be focused on systemic change, right? And again, this could be an example where we know it was happening multiple times on the same platform. This is an opportunity to kind of call them out on these systemic failings related to the use of this tool. So that's frustrating. In relation to individual cases, I think, you know, in theory, the law does provide for an individual complaints mechanism. So it could be in time that Commissioner Mann will set up an individual complaints mechanism, which would mean that if there was that parent who wanted to make a complaint on behalf of their child to get something removed, a takedown, that, you know, once they'd exhausted that channel through the whatever platform we're talking about, they can go to the regulator and say, listen, they haven't responded or they've refused to do it. Can you intervene on our behalf? Which is what happens in Australia, right? That's the model that's in Australia. But A, we don't have it set up yet. And B, we don't have the clarity within the online safety code to really allow for it, because the online safety code does not prescribe a particular time frame in which action must be taken. So if you have posted something to one of these platforms and you've made a complaint about it, what is the expected time frame in which you should hear a response? Like, what's a reasonable time frame for that to have happened, and at what point do you consider that this is now a failure and you should take it, if once that complaints mechanism is set up in theory, when would you take it? So one of the pieces of consultation, or when there was the opportunity to provide consultation, you know, before that online safety code went live, we said, you know, you need prescriptive timeframes. Like, what is an acceptable timeframe in which they must respond, especially to cases involving children? And that detail is just not there. So I just don't know how it will work in practice. And what we don't want is that we have these very extended timeframes and very frustrated and sometimes desperate parents and young people wanting to get stuff removed.
Yeah, I'm trying not to lose faith and hope and all the rest. But, you know, earlier in the week, I was on the Hard Shoulder talking about an email I received from a parent. It was a screenshot of a letter home from school about ships accounts. So that's to do with relationships. But it was an account created by a child in primary school using the school logo and the school name. And it was naming kids in classes as low as third class their full name and the classes that they were in, and asking people to comment on whether or not they think they're in a relationship or not. And when I did a bit of digging on this and I reached out to TikTok and all the rest, I just didn't get an overwhelming sense of things are in control and things are going to be fixed. The message and the information that I received from TikTok was schools do have a method of escalating things and that things can get taken down. The verification checks that are in place, a lot of that is automated. Some of it does happen by people. But again, they're looking for pictures of children. So, but if a child doesn't use their image as their profile pic, or if they don't use their real name, or if they're not posting images and things to do with schools, an AI in America is not going to understand, or wherever it's based, is not going to understand third class. You know what I mean? And so I just, yeah. I'm increasingly concerned, because I feel like I've done nothing but talk about this issue for the last 15 years, and those stepping stones of progress, like it's like doing the stepping stones to get to the top of Kilimanjaro, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're talking about is a digital, what we want to see is a digital world in which children can truly thrive, you know, that they can benefit, they can participate, they can enjoy. They're not being put in harm's way everywhere they go. So it is about being able to avail of the opportunities. Of course, you'll never completely remove risk, you know, as we haven't entirely removed risks from roads and everything, you know, there's always going to be risk and opportunity. However, we could do so much more to mitigate the risks for children. And some of this does come down to education. Of course, we need to be ensuring that children are getting the support, the education, the guidance, so they know and understand the ramifications of sharing information about others without their consent, or, you know, in a way that may humiliate them. You know, we're seeing an increase in cyberbullying cases as well. And oftentimes it is stuff being shared without people's consent, or people being left out of groups and so on. But yeah, the responsiveness of the platforms, which is what our, you know, our online safety code in theory does cover. You know, it's this harmful content and how companies are dealing with user complaints. But it is, there is sort of, I suppose, a lack of specificity around their, what the expectation is on them that I don't think is helpful. And I don't think will solve the problem in the short term.
No. But knowing me and knowing you and knowing all the brilliant people that work with you and the work that you continue to do, you're not going to give up. And I don't think the rest of us can either. So we'll just have to keep on trucking. Alex, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, let me know what you think. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to feel or how to keep on trucking, because there are just so many examples of stuff and harm and maliciousness and all the rest online. And although a huge portion of it is targeted to our children, it's not just the kids. As I spoke about on the show before Christmas, I got a like tirade of horrific abuse for doing my job a few weeks back on social media. And I reported some of them and nothing happened, like literally nothing. And that's me at 36, kind of able to take it on the chin. So I can only imagine how tough it is for our young people. But look, let me know what you think. TechTalk@newstalk.com. We're going to cheer up. And when we come back, we'll head to the STRIPE Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. Stay tuned.